Control 1 to 5-1. No further assistance necessary. Your care. Control 1 to 5-6. Come in.
5-6 to 1, go ahead.
Control 1 to 5-6, we have no listing in our log. Are you in service?
5-6, 10-4, we checked out 6:08 p.m.
Control 1 to 5-6, 10-4, Unit 5-6 in service on the night watch.
This is Don Reed, a police recorder. And right now you're riding in Detective Unit 5-6. And that was Sergeant Ron Perkins just checking us in on the night watch. You're coming along with us tonight, and as you do, remember the people you hear are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. And now we switch you to Detective Unit 5-6 on patrol somewhere in the field, and to police recorder Don Reed.
We're southbound on Washington Boulevard, and just a moment ago, we passed a car that was going in the opposite direction. It was attempting to pick up a couple of young girls waiting at a bus stop. As a matter of fact, we're going to flip a U-turn now. Check this out. Just waiting for a spot in the traffic. We've had a couple of serious cases here in the area involving men attempting to pick up women on the street, so the police units in the area have been alerted. Now, in just a couple of more moments, we should get a shot to make that U-turn. One, two, three more cars. There goes one, two, three. Now we can go. The clear shot. Heading back. And looking directly ahead, the two girls are getting into the car. Sort of looks like a pickup. Anyway, we'll pull up alongside and make sure that everything's okay. For the moment, we're sort of slowed down now and caught in some more traffic here. Trying to keep an eye on that car ahead. One male occupant is raising up in the seat. Apparently, we've been spotted for a police unit. Now they've cut off their lights and they're swerving into a side street. In fact, the fact that they turned their lights off and ducked down a side street indicates they probably have something to hide. There goes off our lights. Running in the dark. That could be their car off there on the left-hand side. Has the same bright type of finish. Now there goes on our spotlight. Shining into the car. Two male occupants. One girl in the back seat. Let's have a look. Driver's getting out of the car.
Police officers, fella. How come you try to duck from us?
Well, I didn't duck off when I spotted you. I ducked off the park here and talked for a little while.
See what real quick turn like that, leaving rubber?
Well, I didn't see the... I mean, you know, I was halfway past the street. And
you
said,
knew
well,
you were the police, though.
Well, yeah, I knew you were the police when you first pulled up. I mean, I have nothing to be hide.
How old are you?
17.
17. You didn't pick up for anything?
About 2-3 years ago.
For what?
Crashing parties. And...
What are the girls' names?
I don't know. I don't remember their names.
You want to draw the attention of a police officer fast, do just what you did.
Well, I wasn't trying to draw the attention of you.
Let's not kid ourselves.
Well, I mean, I didn't try and draw the attention
of you. What did you stop here for?
I talked for a few minutes.
Man, you got a lot to learn. A lot.
Moving over to our radio unit for a moment.
5-6 to 1, do you have a juvenile unit available?
Control 1 to 5-6-10-4. Do you want a juvenile unit to meet you?
10-4, location Denton, one block south of Jefferson.
Control 1 to 5-6, stand by. 52J, meet unit 56.
Oh, we just put in a call for a juvenile unit to meet us. They'll be along in just a few moments. Let's move over to the other car now and talk to the young girls picked up a few moments ago. Here they are, both young, pretty, nervous, crouched in the back seat.
How old are you?
16.
How old are you?
16.
You know either one of the boys?
No.
You just get in the car with two strange boys? Have you ever been to the county morgue? Have you ever seen what happens to girls when they get picked up by strangers?
No.
You're taking an awful chance. Now, you both look like pretty nice girls. I'd hate to go down here and find you in a vacant lot. Where were you going?
Home.
And you let these fellows talk you into getting in the car?
Yes.
I think you're very foolish.
Let's, talk to the second boy standing over here.
You ever been arrested?
No.
Nothing at all?
No.
I'm in a record check. I'm not going to find anything, huh?
Nothing.
If I run a record check and find something, then you're going to jail.
I ain't got no record.
Damn, I'm just telling you. He's giving you a fair warning.
Archie, you want to keep your eye on him? We're going to check the car out.
Over to the car. The girl's still huddled in the back seat, just a bit frightened at the moment. Oh, throwing the light around. There's an empty beer can, a couple of old coats, a pair of greasy gloves.
Hey, check this.
Lead
pipe about 18 inches long.
Yeah. There it is.
One end.
And very conveniently placed right next to the driver's seat. Let's go talk to him.
Yeah, pretty dangerous weapon.
He got me what it is.
He carried a very handy position, right? This is what we consider a deadly weapon. Carrying of it is illegal.
Oh, I mean, geez, it's just a bar. I mean,
that's right, it's just a bar. You have no reason to carry it. It's nothing in, no part of your
that's
car.
That's right, I don't have no reason to carry it, but I mean, right. I had all sorts of stuff in the trunk.
This is what you had in the trunk, and this is what you had right alongside the driver's
seat.
It's an iron bar. It makes a heck of a good deadly weapon.
Two girls leaning out of the window, eyes glued on this piece of pipe.
You ever been hit over the head with an iron bar?
No.
It's a good deadly weapon. Hurts. Whatever he wanted, if he didn't want to give it to him, why, he probably would have taken it by force.
I'm going to see if the juvenile car is having trouble finding us.
Right. Well, how do you girls feel about it now?
Scared.
Cold?
No.
Do you always shake when you're not cold?
Yes. No, just when I'm scared.
There's nothing to be scared of now. The juvenile car just moved in here. Let's get over there.
Jim, you want to take these fellows on in and run a record check on them? They check out okay while I make some FI cards. And, by the way, take this pipe in with you. They won't need it anymore. Let's get in the car, fellas.
That FI card referred to means field interrogation card. It's held in file for reference in case the two subjects are not formally booked. Let's get back to our girls again.
I suggest you girls get in the police car. We'll run you on the home.
Will you?
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
The two very pretty youngsters are going to ride in the back seat with us. So next stop, home. About 5 minutes to get down here to the girls' house. Very convenient. It seems they live next door to each other. We're going on down a few doors beyond so their parents won't see them come home in a police car. Well, do you young ladies think you've learned your lesson?
saved your life. We won't do it again.
Okay. All we want. Okay?
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
You learned your lesson.
Yes, you know it.
My lesson. I'm just going to get started,
buddy. All right. Brian, thanks an awful lot.
Okay. Good night.
I'll bet that's one experience these kids won't forget.
Well, I hope not.
Control 1 to motors 22 and 24. No want on your suspect. Local for West LA. Unit 5-6, come in.
5-6, go ahead.
Control 1 to 5-6. Attention, Sergeant Perkins. We have a subject here in the Detective Bureau who claims his wife may be insane. Request 1019 for investigation.
10-4, we'll roll right in.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. And now we switch you back to police headquarters, where the crew of Detective Unit 5-6 is conducting an investigation, and police recorder Don Reed.
I also went to General Hospital to see if I were permitted there. I did that 2 years ago.
This is the Detective Bureau.
Three neighbors have to sign.
And across the desk, a man, early 40s, nervously chain-smoking cigarettes, claims his wife may be possibly mentally ill, threatening their children. Let's get the rest of the information.
I'm not a violent man. I mean, I don't drink. She says I drink, I gamble, I have a gun, I have a knife, but I don't have these things. But we can't go on like this anymore, my wife. I mean,
how old are your children?
One will be 4 next month. One is 2 and 8 months. And then a little baby 3.5 months old. I never heard a woman talk with a cheap tongue. You won't believe me if you talk to her. She's a good-looking girl. And then she can be the most dignified thing you have ever seen in your life. More dignified. I'm a nervous wreck. I don't know what I'm coming about in the past 2 or 3 years. Now, I had 2 jobs. I would be out as much as possible. She says, well, your job is home here, helping me with the kids. So I gave one up and I helped her with the kids, and I washed diapers. So she says, well, you were just washing the diapers to show off to the neighbors that you were a good man. I have 7 newspaper clippings where a woman her age have killed 2 or 3 children. Then it's too late to come and ask you for help. Now there is a chance to talk to people, because some days he's going to do something violent. Maybe I aggravate her, I suppose. I'm an old slob, that she called me 1,000 times. And every time I give her the paycheck, she would go and buy $1 or $2 worth of toys. If it wasn't for the kid, well, I would say to the devil with her. She says, if you don't do what I tell you, I'll drop this baby. She held it like this, but I don't mind telling you, I fell on my knees because I got... I says, tell me what you want. You want this money? What do you want? What is it you want? She says, don't you be like that to me. And then she put the baby down. And whenever she hits, she always holds the baby on the hand. Now, for the protection of the children is really the main thing that I came into.
Are you still in love with your wife?
Yes, I'm afraid I am.
How old is your wife?
30.
30.
And I'm 44.
In other words, you are still vitally interested in her welfare.
Yes,
Despite the arguments in the background.
I wouldn't be happy otherwise.
And you also are...
I would never leave her without sending money, because I wouldn't be happy with $2 in my pocket if I didn't send one to her.
I see. Do you think that your wife is mentally unbalanced?
That is a question that is mighty hard. I think she is at times. I certainly...
Have you ever discussed that with her at all?
Yes, it's me that is insane.
Have you ever asked her if she would be willing to talk to a psychiatrist or a doctor? What did she say?
She says, I should go. I says, I will go. I'll go first. And however, nobody would know what she's like. I couldn't describe it to you. You wouldn't believe it, how violent, how I don't know.
Let's recap it just a little bit so that we know exactly what the story is. We're not interested in the past too much because it's a civil nature. We're interested right now in the welfare and safety of both you, your wife, and the children.
Well, that's good.
And we want to be sure that nothing happens to any one of you. So right now, as I understand it, your problem is that you had an argument with your wife tonight, and you left the house in order to prevent any...
Well, she was in bed. She didn't get up.
Right.
She says, you go to sleep somewhere else. I says, okay, I will.
But anyway, what I'm driving at, you did leave.
Yeah.
And
she said she would call the police. That's why I came.
Now,
I thought you
thought it was best to come down and explain the situation to us because you feel that she's going to call us and possibly complain against you.
Yeah. See, if I could sit down and talk to her, but you can't do that either. She would not sit down. She said,
here's what I thought we would do. We will go down and talk to her.
That's good.
And
she will give you a different story.
Story.
Yeah.
And the part of the divorce or your living together, that is strictly between the two of you in a civil case.
Yeah.
Your own attorneys will have to handle that part of it.
Yeah.
But as far as the children are concerned or the possibility of any violence, that's where we will step in and help in any way we can.
Well, that's all right with me.
So if it's agreeable to you, we'll go down and have a talk with her.
Good.
And then we'll contact you a little later on, and we can tell you what she had to say, and we can see if we can't work it out to some type of satisfaction to all who are concerned.
It's funny how things can change. In New York City, I never needed money, and of course, they say money. It isn't always that the place up at home for me.
Well, that side of the story pretty much speaks for itself. Now we'll move out to our radio car and check into the home and get the wife's side of the picture. The gentleman will wait back here at the station for us. And oddly enough, there's no way to anticipate what type of reception we'll get. I've seen some that should be violent and turned out to be nothing. And then there's others that should be nothing and turned out to be quite a hassle. Well, we'll know very shortly. Heading up the walk of the home. It's a small English-type cottage. Rose-covered fence along the side. Little dog following us. Keeping at a safe distance. He's making an awful lot of noise for a little fella.
Sure, that's okay.
Come hello here.
This is Don Reed and Officer Ward.
Oh.
Hi, Drew.
How are you?
Come in, will you?
Modestly furnished. A tiny baby asleep on the divan.
Problems and troubles you're having here with your husband.
Oh, I have quite a lot.
Can you tell us what this is all about? We've talked to your husband, and now we'd like to talk to you.
Well, frankly, we have always had trouble from the beginning of our marriage. And as one child after another came along, there's been more troubles. I frankly say I've never met anybody quite so mean as he has been to me and to the children.
We'd like to ask you a little bit about what happened. Your husband came to the station, and I understand that you'd had an argument.
We had a terrible argument. I'm busy all day, and I haven't had a good night's sleep for many months. He's been doing this for night after night, and he gets up and makes a noise, and we're all, my children are in the bedroom there, and just stamps around here, and because I get mad too. I admit that. I can't help it. I just got to get some sleep at night.
Was there any violence? Did he strike you, or did you
Yes, he always gets hold of me, and he shakes his fist in front of my face, which frightens me.
Did he ever actually strike you?
Yes, he has struck me many times. But he hasn't lately, so...
Have you struck him?
No, I've thrown things.
You've thrown things?
Yes, I couldn't get hold of him to strike him. He has told so many insults at me that I just don't care much more now. But I do expect a little respect.
Of course, as far as your marriage is concerned, that is a civil matter.
Oh,
the
yes,
thing that we're interested in is that either you get hurt or your husband or your children.
And that's what I want.
And now, he told us that when we came down to talk to you, to ask you what you wanted, and he would be willing to go by.
I want a fair deal, like any wife does.
May I ask you a personal question that
yes,
I asked him?
Certainly.
Are you in love with your husband?
Yes, I am.
Well, now, he said the same thing about you.
Oh,
So, maybe we've got something we can work on.
It sounds ridiculous. I mean, there's always quarrels in a home, especially when there's a new baby. But I have three lovely children, and my husband has no respect for me. And without that, a marriage cannot live. I can't have respect for him because he treads all over me. And if I was a woman with money, he would treat me a lot differently. But this business, he doesn't like to give me any money at all for my own little personal needs. But still, this business of asking him for a dollar or so, it's just what it shouldn't be in a marriage. I've told him he should he has a right to leave some money in the house at all times. He doesn't agree on that. He says it's safe with me.
Well, how about the children? Are they being affected by all this?
I'd say the boy is, definitely.
How old is the boy?
He's nearly four. He's getting older, and he realizes it. I'm with them all the time, and any little toys they need or anything is out of the question. And of course, you realize children need some toys. We have help from Salvation Army and the veterans. At Christmas time, we've always had charity. And that's another thing. My husband loves to take charity. The more he can take, the more he likes it. I don't agree on that. I say an emergency, yes, but for this business, if I was to buy him a little toy, if he gives me a couple of dollars, I like to buy him a little thing each. Then starts a big quarrel. So I don't exactly know who could help us that way. I mean, thousands of homes have that same trouble.
Well, I think one of the first things, if you're sincere in trying to patch things up and make a workable...
He says I'm useless.
Well...
I'm useless because I don't have any money and I don't have a job. A woman can only do her best under certain circumstances.
Are you willing for us to help you work this out?
Wow, I would be very grateful
for
anybody who could.
Husband's expressed the same opinion, and we thought possibly, although it's actually not a criminal matter, other than possibly the children are being affected, we certainly
are
very...
Well, of course they will, and the older they get, the more affected to it they get. They're sensitive to atmospheres. I mean, it's not just the idea of having... you can ask me, there's probably thousands of women in this country. You ask, it's the idea of having a dollar in your pocket, whether you spend it or not. And nobody likes to walk around without anything in their pocket.
Is your husband working now?
Yes, he doesn't earn very much. He's worked at job after job. I think for his age, he's in the 40s, it's rather awkward if a man doesn't have a steady career. I mean, it's just he can't seem to get into a really good job.
You're not working, are you?
No, I would gladly go to work, but I don't intend to work to keep him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, I'd like to go back and talk to your husband. In the meantime, what we're most anxious is that you don't get hurt and that he isn't hurt and that the children aren't hurt.
No, I think it's best if we keep on a state of a politeness, of civility to each other. I can't stand it. I mean, he can't. Okay. Nobody can stand constant bickering.
Would you want him to come back and to the home tonight?
I don't mind a bit. This is his home. He says nothing here is mine, but I say it's equally belongs to both of us.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll go up and talk to your husband and explain what you've told us and see if we can't smooth relations a little bit. And then in the next few days, if you care to, I come on down to both of you and we'll talk the whole thing over.
Well, that's very nice of you. This is an unexpected visit.
Well, we're anxious to help you if we possibly can. That's why we came down to see you.
Well, that's awfully nice. It's just the point, if a man is going to look down on a woman, there's nothing to work on there.
Well, we'll see what we can do. Maybe we can talk the whole thing out.
Well, it's nice to talk to you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And forgive me for not letting you in at once.
That's perfectly all right. Good night.
Good night.
As I said before, there's two sides to every story. But I didn't realize how right I was.
Let's get back to the station and see if we can get this squared away.
Okay. We've been back here to headquarters for better than an hour. And just a moment ago, we finished playing the recording of the wife's statements made in the house. The husband sitting in front of me hung on to... every word she said sort of ran the gamut of emotions, as it were. Let's see how he feels about the situation now.
Isn't it amazing? When I said you listened to this statement, I wish I knew a way that I could be better. If it's all my fault, I want to learn.
Well, now, can I give you some suggestions?
Yeah, you sure can.
You heard the tape recording of your wife.
Yeah.
You told me that you loved her.
Right.
You heard the tape recording, and she said that she loved you. Now, you've got three very nice children.
Yeah.
And that is one of the most important things to remember.
Right.
Now, she has agreed to come in here and talk to the juvenile authorities.
Good.
And we would like to have both of you come in this week. And we can give you some recommendations as to who to see.
Yeah.
And possibly the fact that you both love each other, and you both are interested in your children, that this thing can work out. I think it can.
Yeah. So, shall I?
Now, she said that she would like to have you go home there tonight.
Yeah. Well, I think you gentlemen ought to be blessed for that, because you have given your time where you didn't have to give it, and I certainly appreciate it, Sergeant Perkins, and you, Mr. Don Lee, because someday, I don't know if you'll ever get through anything like this, it really kills a man.
What you have just heard is real. The investigation was recorded as it actually occurred. And now, back to police headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's first case of the two boys picking up girls on the street resulted in their being brought into the station for questioning because of the deadly weapon found in their car. Both boys were cited into juvenile hearing and placed on probation for a period of 6 months. In the final case of the man who requested an investigation of his home conditions, after listening to the recorded statement of his wife, I am advised a reconciliation took place. In the normal conception of police work, to many, this case may seem unimportant. To this man, who had no one to turn to, this was a key moment in his life. However, this type of police work done by your law enforcement officers is seldom related or publicized in the newspapers, like the long hours of stakeouts that fail to materialize, the miles of legwork for a single clue. These are a few of the many problems seldom realized by the average citizen. To help bring about this understanding is the reason for Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following the on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.